Hey, what's up? Andrew Kramer here with VideoCopilot.net, and today we're going to be taking a look at creating a great 3D set extension in After Effects. So here's what we're going to be creating. All right, so basically we're flying over the mountains through the clouds and the mist, and we see this great menacing looking background. Now, the great thing about this tutorial is it's actually pretty straightforward. Here's the breakdown of what we're going to be creating. First, we have some stock footage from artbeats.com, and it's a great platform. It's a great start for what we need to do, but we want it to be a little bit more evil. This might be great for like a Western or maybe Back to the Future 3, but we want to take it to the next level. So in Photoshop, what I've done is taken a single shot or a frame from the end of the movie, and I went through and I started adding things like some mountains in the background. And you notice I use the real mountains and add some additional mountains on top. And we have our main mountain right in the middle and maybe some color correction. That way people know we're serious, right? Exactly. Not necessarily. Now, why would we do set extensions or matte paintings? What's the purpose of this? Well, if you think about it in this way, let's say you're doing a movie about the future and you have to have some futuristic landscape. Well, that may not exist yet, but it will in the future. But if you need to make a movie now, you want to create a matte painting, maybe some 3D buildings, some cars, flying lights, and all that good stuff. And that way your movie looks like it's in the future, or it's an ancient period movie where you're in Rome and you have to have all these old buildings, all that stuff. So matte paintings are a great way to establish the landscape of your film. Or maybe they see something like this. And actually, we're flying over the mountains, and what's that in the distance? It's a Starbucks coffee. Now that makes a great movie. It's very convenient too. You just have to hike over this hill. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started, and we're gonna have a blast. This is the final result that we're going for, and I gotta say, what I love about this tutorial is that there are so many possibilities. You know, we're covering so many different techniques, from 3D motion tracking to compositing a matte painting from Photoshop, adding particle effects, color correction, sky replacement. You know, it really has some amazing possibilities. So please be thinking about different things that you can do. And I also like that we're taking a project that's somewhat complex and doing it all at once. You know, it's one thing to talk about one technique at a time, like, okay, here's how you do a matte from a footage, or here's how you do a sky replacement. But to be able to show you all of the different techniques and how they connect together and how they can be managed in a single project is great for people who are learning, because then they can see how these different techniques go together and come together for a final result. So what we want to create is this effect. So how would we go about getting this started? So the first thing we need to do is get some footage. So get a helicopter and a video camera and some duct tape and go to the desert or wherever and fly really, really dangerously close to the mountains and get a cool shot like this. Now, if you can't do that, you can go over to artbeats.com, where this clip actually comes from, and it's called T505-2. Dash 1 was good, dash 3 was all right, but dash 2 was the ticket. In most cases, you want to create your matte painting in Photoshop because you have all these great image editing tools and you can bring multiple images together and blend them in nicely. So what you want to do is take your footage, your source material, and create a still frame. So we can put it into a new comp, just like that, move forward to the end of the shot where you want to have the matte painting, and just choose comp, save frame as file. And just make sure it's set to best and render it out. And then we're going to send it over to the matte painting department. Now, in this case, it was my three-year-old daughter. So she put this together. It's pretty simple. We have the one foreground mountain and some background mountains. Now, we could separate the background mountains so that you have two layers. But in this case, I think it will work okay because we don't fly past them too much. So there isn't going to be much of a parallax. It definitely looks good, especially for a three-year-old. I know it's for a movie that she's working on, and it's pretty exciting. It's about a lost sock and a cat that try to save the world and stuff. So pretty ambitious, to say the least. So let's go ahead and import that into our project. Now, it's a Photoshop file with layers, so we'll bring it into our comp, and After Effects is gonna pop up this window. We wanna make sure to import it as a composition so that we have editable layers. Now, we don't need editable layers or live Photoshop 3D, so we'll hit OK. And that brings it in. If we open it up, we can actually see now that we have the layers broken up right inside of After Effects, so it's perfect. All right, so we've got the matte painting for her movie, and it's obviously kind of low budget, and so that's why she asked me to help out with some of the effects and some babysitting. So I think it'll be good. Now, the next thing we want to do is take our mountain shot and drop it into a new comp. So we'll drag it into a new comp, and here we have the shot we're going to be using. So before we composite the matte painting, we need to do a 3D camera track. This is a process called match moving or 3D camera solving. And what we're going to be using is a plugin called Camera Tracker. And it's a really cool plugin. And it's also the most inexpensive full-featured 3D camera tracking tool on the market. So you guys may have heard of Buju. It's like $10,000. There's other ones that are, you know, $500, $1,000. This one's only a couple hundred bucks. It's full-featured. Oh, and by the way, Video Copilot is actually an official reseller of it. So if you click on the Pro Shop, if you buy it from us, it actually helps to support us. So definitely check it out. Match moving is one of those essential things. So match moving basically allows you to take elements and composite them in 3D space to match the camera. So hopefully you'll use it to create something better than this. But this is the basic idea. Now, in the case of our mountain shot, we want to be able to composite things in 3D space. So it's great for motion graphics, but it's also great for, you know, visual effects. All right, using Camera Tracker is really easy. So first thing, make sure your comp is set to full resolution so that the tracking will be as accurate as possible. So the first step is to click Track Features. Now, this will take a little bit of time. It's going to track all the way forward and all the way back. So depending on how long your clip is, you know, it'll take a couple of minutes. Okay, so camera trackers track 2D points throughout the clip. So the next thing we're gonna do is click Solve Camera. Now this goes pretty quick and gives you some information, solved, everything's in good shape. We hit okay. Okay, so now we have some 3D points, but the final step is to create a scene with a camera. So if we click Create Scene, so now we actually have a 3D camera. So if we fly through this, we can see we're flying past this null object and it's actually in 3D space. So this is pretty much, you know, the main idea, but Camera Tracker, like I said, is pretty much a full-featured 3D tracker. So we can do a lot of other cool things. For example, if we move forward through the clip, there's a bunch of 3D points. So remember, if you click on the name Camera Tracker, all of the data will pop up. So what I want to do is create a null object into some of these points in 3D space. So I'll click on one of the points and then I'll hold down Control and click on it again, and I'm going to choose Create Null Object. So now if we look closely, there's a null object at that point. So Camera Tracker has its own 3D point viewing, but in order to actually access it through After Effects, we need to create some null objects. So we can see that that null object is now in 3D space and we can access it and tie things to it. But I want to create a few more. So we'll click on this, we'll zoom in, we'll click on one, control click, create null object. So remember, when you click once, hold down control, click again, create a null object. Maybe we'll make one in the back here for the sky. And maybe another one on this side. We can also add some, you know, just down here. And remember, we can come back and do this again later. But this will just help us have some elements in our scene to use as reference. And again, I want to add a few along this ridge. So we'll click here. Let's see, maybe here. Control click. Maybe up here. And maybe a few So we'll click out here, and there we have tons of null objects in 3D space, and we can start getting busy compositing this matte painting. All right, now before we get into the fun part of compositing our mountains in the background, we need to do some boring rotoscoping. So here is our mountain shot. So I'm going to change the composition name. So I'll choose Composition Settings, and we'll call this Mountain Composite. And we'll hit OK. Now, I need to create a mat of this foreground mountain, because if we're going to be adding stuff into the background here, we need to make sure that these mountains are in front during the shot, because if we put something right here, these mountains won't obscure it. So what I'm going to do is come over here. We have our mountain composite, and I'm going to choose Edit, Duplicate. So we'll click on that comp. We'll hit Return on the main keyboard, and we'll call this Mountain Roto. And we'll hit OK. Now we're going to open that up. And what we need to do is create a roto of this mountain. Now, we can do it a couple of different ways. We can use a Luma mat, but down here, it's not really going to work because the background is also dark. So let's go over just some cool ways that we can create a mat when we have a 3D camera track. So first thing, we're going to create a new solid. And we want to make this pretty big. So we'll make it 2,500 by 2,500, and we'll hit OK. And we'll make it a 3D layer. So I'm going to shut it off for a second. And what I want to do is I want to put it in a position that is along the ridge. So now what I want to do is put this black solid into the same position as one of the knolls that are on the ridge. So this particular knoll looks like a good choice. So what I'm going to do is, first, we have all of these null objects, and they're all being linked to this one null object. So you can see the parenting if you hit F4 or just right-click and show parent. And what I want to do is just set that to none, because we're not going to be moving around the world space of the orbit. So we don't actually need to have that. But I'm going to take this first null, hit P, select the position, choose Edit, Copy, take that black solid, hit P, select the position, and choose Paste. So now if we turn that layer on, maybe we could add a grid effect to it. There we go. And we scrub through, we can see now that that grid is in 3D space and kind of lines up with the mountain, so it's kind of cool. But we're actually going to use it as kind of a roto mat. So I'm going to rotate it a little bit. And we'll shut the grid effect off, and I'll even shut the layer off. All right, so we have the pen tool selected. I'm going to click on the black solid and move to the beginning of the comp. So then I'm going to hit the tilde key, zoom in here, and we want to draw an outline of this ridge. So we'll just go in here and, you know, you want to try to keep it detailed, but we're just going to do it here pretty quick just to get the basic idea. Now we can cut off some of these trees, or you can leave them in depending on how detailed you want this to be. So we've created a roto. So now what I'm going to do is take our footage, and I'm going to delete the camera tracking data because we have it in our other comp. And then I'm going to bring it up to the top here, and I'm going to hit F4, and I'm going to hit the track mat here, and we're going to set it to alpha mat. So what that does is cuts out the area so that we have transparency. Okay, so we can look at this right now, and it's a pretty good job of rotoing it out, but then we can start seeing the background there. So we want to try to fix that as best we can. So if we hit M, we can click on the mask path here, and we can keyframe it. So it's kind of okay in the beginning, and then it starts getting a little bit messed up towards the end. So we can maybe double click on the mask here and try to scale it over so that it fills in this area. And we can even just start moving some of these points around. So maybe select a group of them here, slide them over. We want to get this a little bit tighter. Same thing, these points. So we'll just grab a chunk of them here and just try to move them over to line up. And again, you know, you should probably spend some time doing this because you want to have a nice, clean roto for this edge. This is pretty good. It's pretty close. Now, the thing about this clip, if we take this footage again and duplicate it, we'll put it on top. The thing about the clip is it actually has a natural luma mat because we have this dark area and we have this light area. So what we can do is take it and recomposite it on itself to bring back in some of the little details of the edges. So here's what we'll do. We'll choose effect, key. We could do a luma key, and we'll key out the brighter pixels. So if we solo this, we can turn the threshold up here, and we can see, you know, these edges being reintroduced. So that looks pretty good. Now we have one little problem, and that is, you know, we're re-adding in some of this other stuff. So I'll talk about how we're going to deal with that. Now we might even do a color key here. So we could do key, just a simple color key, click on that and try to punch that out. And that does a nice job of getting some of those other elements. So you can set the feather to maybe one, and that's nice. But it's still important that we have our other layer keying out this middle part. So what I want to do though is I want to add this back on top. So we'll take the pen tool here and we're simply going to draw a mask around this the part excluding this middle ridge. So maybe right across here. I'll set the mask color to red. Okay. So we'll just shut it off for a second while we do this, and we'll keyframe the path. So we'll click on path, we'll move forward, and then we'll move this up, move forward, move this up. So looks pretty good. Okay, so we'll set that to add. So all we're doing is adding this part back on top. We'll unsolo the layer, and here we have, you know, a pretty good roto. So remember, because we use the 3D tracking data, it's pretty close, but just getting in there and refining those keyframes makes a big difference. So we'll set this back to add, and that will cut it out nicely. We can even turn on the motion blur for that layer, and if we look closely, the edge will actually have some directional motion blur, so it's kind of nice. Now we've recomposited this top part back on, but let's make sure we feather the edge so we're not introducing any artifacts. So maybe subtract the mask just a bit to compare kind of the difference. So as we look at this edge and we compare it with the original roto, it's kind of smooth, but then we add back in that detail by using that luma key, and it does a really nice job of preserving the detail. So this is our roto, and I think we could do better, but I think we could also do a lot worse. But I'll let you guys worry about that. All right, guys, are you still with me? Because we're actually going to do some fun stuff too. So here we are back in our mountain composite shot. Now, remember, we imported our mountain matte painting, and that's the two layers, the one mountain and the background mountain. So let's go ahead and bring those into our final composite and start getting those dialed in. So let me take these two layers. So the top layer, we'll call this mountain, and we'll call this background mountains. And we'll take the two layers, hold down shift, and we'll choose edit, copy, and then we'll jump over to our composite, and we'll just choose edit, paste. So we've got our two mountain clips. That looks amazing. So we'll keep going. Let's clean this up a little bit. So first of all, hold down shift and let's unparent all of the null objects from the world transform, and that will just make sure we have an absolute position value. And then I'm going to take all of the null objects and I'm going to hit F4, and we're going to turn on the shy switch. And what that does is allows us to simply hide them while we're working or pop them back up so our comp isn't too cluttered. So we can hide those. We'll take this background mountains and we'll turn off the collapse transformation. So that just comes in that way from Photoshop, but not entirely necessary. Okay, now we did just create our mountain roto comp. So if we take that, drag that into our comp on top, and now you can see the purpose of that. It allows the background matte painting to look like it's actually behind these foreground mountains. So again, we'll shut that off for the moment while we set this comp up and try to get everything dialed in. We want our mountains to be in 3D space, so we'll turn them into 3D layers. So we'll click on the 3D layer switch, and they've gone somewhere far away. That's okay. We're going to unshy our null objects from our tracking data, from our 3D tracking data, and we'll find the null object that is on this back mountain. And I think it was one of the first ones we created. So here it is right here. And we can even hit return and call this, you know, main mountain, so that we know that that track marker is that position. I'm going to hit P, click on the position, and then choose edit, copy. And then we can hide them. Then I'm going to click on our main mountain, hit P, click on the position, and choose edit, paste. So now our mountain is in the position of that null. And if I move around, it kind of looks like it's in 3D space. So let's go and scale it up a bit. And we can move it into position. Just be careful not to move it out of the realm of that position. Otherwise, it will look like it's floating, and we don't want that. So we'll scale it up here. And so now we've kind of got something going on. Now we'll shut the back mountains off for a second. We'll turn on our roto. And, you know, we've got the workings of a cool looking shot here. So now one thing I want to do is a quick color correction on our original plate. So we'll choose effect, color correction, tint, it's at the bottom there. And we'll also add a curves adjustment. So what I want to do is try to match the color to our mountain. So we'll just bring that saturation down and maybe even add a little bit of green by taking out a little bit from the red channel. So if we just, yeah. So that's pretty good. And then I'll take these two settings, copy them, and paste them onto our roto layer. So hit paste. And so that way they'll look good. Excellent. So now we have our back mountains, but we want to use the null object that's on this back mountain right here. So we'll unhide them for a second. I use control and the up and down arrows to kind of scroll through. And there it is. We'll hit P, select the position, edit, copy. Take our back mountains, we'll turn it back on, and we'll choose edit, paste. So there they are, looking good. Now, I'm going to take the back mountains and we'll scale them up, shift them over here. And I'll just kind of move them into place. Now, I want to make sure that I see a little bit of the real mountains in the background right here. And just kind of get the basic position into place. Okay, so this looks pretty good, but we need to integrate the mountains a little bit better with our plate. So what I'm going to do is create a new solid. And this will just be a regular solid that is the same as the comp size. And we'll hit OK. And we'll put it right above the back mountains. So if we shut these two off and click on the black solid that we just created, let's make it a 3D layer. And then we'll take the position of the back mountains and we'll copy it and paste it to the position of the black solid. And this is similar to the roto technique that we used earlier. So I'm going to scale this up. And then I'm gonna add a mask to it. So I have that black layer selected. We're gonna zoom in, and we wanna draw a line along the ridge of these mountains. So we'll just go in there. The more detailed, the better, but again, we're just gonna get through it here. So we'll just create a shape. And so now we have just this black solid that is right there. So if we turn on our back mountains, we can now use the track mat for the black solid. So if we set it to alpha inverted, it will use that layer as a track mat. So we can see that it looks a little too smooth though. So what I'll do is I'll take that black solid, hide the masks, and we'll come over here and we'll type in rough, and we'll take the rough and edges effect, put it on the black solid, and we'll bring the scale down a bit. And we can see it kind of gives it these rough edges, and we can turn up the sharpness, maybe make the border a little smaller, and we just want to try to match, you know, the roughness of these other layers. So you know, something like that looks pretty good. You know, we just want it to look like it blends in nicely. So that's a good start. And we might even take these layers, the mountains, and darken them just a little bit so that they look like they're right behind the ones that are actually in the shot. So I think that looks pretty good. We might even take our main mountain, darken it a little bit as well, and possibly bring out some of the highlights because they're a little bright. Cool. Now you probably want to add some shadows to really integrate it nicer. Like this mountain should be casting some shadows if it were really there, but we're just going to hopefully hide it with all of the smoke and stuff later. So remember, a 3-year-old did this, so you know, cut her some slack. Although admittedly, I read the script for her movie and it's pretty good. It's very early Spielberg with like a touch of Hitchcock and, you know, little Dora the Explorer. So, you know, it's not bad. Okay, let's go and make a few adjustments. So first, we could take our main mountain and scale it up a little bit so it's a little more menacing. We can also tweak our roto. So it's a little messed up right here. We might go in there to the mountain roto and, you know, adjust some of the keyframes. Now remember, it's a real 3D camera move, so we can really do a lot of cool things. So if I move forward here, let's click on the camera tracker again, and let's add in a few null objects. So maybe we'll add one here, and we'll control click and create a null. Maybe another one at the end here. See this one, control click and create a null. So maybe just in a few areas here in the foreground. And let me show you what we can do with this now. So to enhance the shot a little bit, I've got these spikes and I'm going to just copy it, control C, and we'll paste it into this comp. So we'll hit paste. Now we just created these two null objects. So let's take them, let's unparent them from the global null, and let's take the position of this first one, hit P, we'll select it and choose edit, copy. Now we'll make our spike, so here we go, a 3D layer, and we'll choose edit, paste. So now our spike is in 3D space. Now let's move it up so that the base of it lines up with that null object. And then we should also flip it. So set it to negative 100. So the lighting kind of matches. And we can rotate it. And, you know, we could try to integrate this a little bit better with the color correction and such. Maybe even, you know, roto out the base here a little bit. And subtract that portion. Okay. So if we look at this now, we can see that we have these spikes. We'll put it below our roto layer. We have these spikes that are kind of in 3D space, and we can even move them around, you know, maybe closer to the camera, you know, so that they parallax a bit more. I mean, obviously, you want to make sure that they take place and they look like they're attached to the surface. But if we, you know, maybe put a few off to the side here, and we could duplicate them, you know, play around with the size, maybe push this one back a little bit. You know, you should be careful about just moving things arbitrarily. You want to make sure that they are attached to an actual 3D point so that they don't look like they're floating, because this mountain definitely has the floating vibe. Okay, so I've just made a few copies here and kind of positioned them in 3D space kind of close to the camera, and we just get a little bit more of a parallax, and you know, just helps build the landscape a little bit. So these are just little things that you can do to enhance, you know, the composite, so it doesn't just look like stock footage. So we just quick little comparison, you know. I mean, it's not great or anything, but you know, I think the potential is there. So maybe real quick, we could take a look at adding some great particles and see if we can add some more depth by flying through some clouds. All right, so the next thing I want to do is add some particle clouds. So in our original example, we kind of fly through them, and then we see them across the land, and I want to try to add some of these. We're going to be using trap code particular, and we're going to create a new solid, and we'll call this particle clouds, and hit OK. All right, so we'll come over here and type in particular, and drop that onto our particle layer. So we need to do a couple of things. We need to control how these particles are being emitted. So we'll go into the emitter here, set the emitter to a box, and we're also going to turn the velocity down to zero. And that's because we just want to float through these clouds. Now, another important thing is we want to make sure that all of the particles are already born so that clouds aren't just popping up. So we'll click on the stopwatch for the particles per second, and then we'll move forward and we'll set it to zero. Okay, so the particles are being born, and then we stop emitting particles. All right, so let's make a few adjustments to the particle field. Let's increase the emitter size. So we'll just tweak the settings here. We want it to be pretty wide and also pretty long. Now, instead of just using a single point for our particle, we actually want to make it a cloud element. So we have this cool smoke element, and we'll drop it into a new comp. And what I'm going to do is create a white solid. And we'll hit OK. And we'll put it beneath the smoke element. And we'll set it to Luma Matte. And that way, we'll actually have transparency in the background. So if we go back to our composite, we'll take our smoke element, drop it into the comp, we'll shut it off, and then we'll take our particle layer, scroll down to the particle type, and we'll set it to a sprite. And then we can change the texture to the smoke element layer. Now our layer is a little large, so we might want to modify that, but we'll just hit OK, come in here. Yeah, it's not too bad. Actually, I think it's okay. We'll go back. Just want to be careful. If you're going to have a lot of particles, you don't want the sprite to be too large or the texture to be too large because it'll take a really long time to render. But this one's actually okay. And we can turn the size up. We can have a size randomness. We can change the opacity. And here we can actually kind of see the idea. We're flying through these clouds. Now, the first batch of clouds we want to make sure is in front of the mountain because we don't want to deal with the intersection of this mountain ridge. We want to have some in the front and then we'll have some in the back. So this is pretty good. I might move the particle emitter position down a bit. And that's pretty good. Might increase the depth. Nice. Now we can even rotate the particle field. So let's see if we narrow this down. So it just looks like a nice field. But we can actually rotate it to match the alignment of the camera. And we can do that through the world transform. So we have rotation of the entire particle system. So this one actually rotates it in the direction we want. So we want to tilt it up a little bit. And then we can increase the height. And now if we want to make it more dense, we could come in here to this first keyframe, which is set to 100 particles per second. We can set it to maybe 150, and it'll just make it a lot more dense. And we can even change the random seed to find one that looks a little bit more uniform. So that looks nice. Now the particles are probably a little too dense, so we'll bring the opacity down a bit. And we should turn the life up to about 10 seconds so that they don't just shut off midway. Cool, so this is looking pretty good. Now, one of the things that can happen sometimes is the particles can just pop off as they hit the camera. So for that, we want to go into the visibility and set the near start fade a little bit higher. And that way they start fading out a little bit sooner. So if you're actually going through a three-dimensional cloud, which we are not, you would imagine the density would decrease as you, you know, get through it. So if you're halfway through the cloud, the density should maybe be about half. So we kind of fake that by setting the near start fade to a little further along. So the cloud starts fading out a little bit before it actually goes through the camera. So that looks pretty good. But now I want to create an additional particle field. So we'll take our same layer, choose Edit, Duplicate, and let's put it below our rotoed mountains. And then I'm actually going to move the position to be in front of the mountain. So we have our XYZ position. We move the Z position forward. Check it out. Our clouds are now kind of far away. And this is going to be really cool. So now we just need to tweak where this particle field extends to. So we can make it maybe a little longer in the Z space. So we'll pull it out a little further here. Maybe a little wider. And maybe we want to add more particles. So again, we'll double click on that keyframe. Maybe set it to 250. And that looks nice. Maybe even more. Let me show you this other cool tip. Let's set this to like 400. So one of the things that happens with this technique is these faraway clouds are just way too dense, but my foreground ones aren't dense enough. So we're going to use the visibility to help solve that problem. So we have our far fade and far vanish. So let's set the far start fade to like 1500. That's really close. And then set the vanish to 2000. So we can actually start seeing that that makes a difference. So as we move this value closer, we can start cutting those particles out. It basically works by calculating the distance from the camera. So the further away ones will start fading out a little bit sooner. And that way we can make them, you know, more dense in the foreground. And that just gives us a little bit more control over the density of our clouds in the background. So this is a good start. We might play again with the world transform, maybe move it down just a little bit so that it's right in that area. And we could probably push it away from the mountains a little bit. There we go. Okay, so we can increase the particle size to make them a little softer. And I would say this is looking pretty good. Maybe we'll move the background clouds down just a little bit more. And that way we can still see our faraway mountains. But, you know, that's just something you can adjust till it looks right. Now, we've added this haze, so we want to go ahead and do some color correction. So we'll add a new adjustment layer and some curves. And then we'll just start tweaking the contrast a little bit. Now we can make it nice and evil by bringing all the red out and just cooling it off. Maybe add a little blue into it. You know, something weird about the density of this background. So let's tweak the random seed till we find one that's maybe a little more even. Like, that's nice. And yeah. So finally, we might do a sky replacement. So how that's going to work is we'll come down here to the bottom layer of our footage, and let's quickly do a Luma key to cut the background out. So we'll choose Effect, Keying, and we'll do a Luma key again, and we'll key out the brighter, and we'll just tweak this until we just see that mountain edge get cut off, and we'll feather it a touch so it's nice and smooth. Cool. Now we may have to deal with this. Let's see. Okay, so that looks pretty good. We've got a little bit of stuff up here we should deal with. Quick way to deal with that actually will just be to roto it out. So if we hit M, and we can just hit Subtract, and we'll keyframe the path there. And uh, And this should work because remember, we have the additional roto layer that's adding those mountains back on top. So this will work pretty good. Now we have this cool sky image, this texture, and we'll bring it out, put it at the bottom here. We'll make it 3D. And we put a couple of nulls in the very, very background. So we'll unshy this and we'll find that null right there, P, copy the position, go to our sky layer and paste the position. So there it is. We'll scale this guy up pretty big, move it into position. Now it's got a bit of distortion. So if we use the optics compensation, so if we reverse the lens distortion and increase that, it will start to flatten that out a bit. So you can see that looks a little bit better. And we'll move it up here. Now we need to brighten it up to match our background mountains. So we'll choose Effect, Curves, and we'll just bring this up pretty bright. Careful not to blow it out. We want to keep some of that detail, but it definitely needs to be pretty bright to match. Now, another quick little thing we can do, let's scale this up more here. Is we can blend the background back in with the shot. So check this out. If I take the very edge, very close to the mountain, and create a mask, I can subtract that part from the footage and even feather it out a little bit. Now remember, we have that lens distortion on, so we need to adjust our mask a little bit. So we'll just tweak it a little bit. We just want to create a little bit of a hole that we can fill the background in back with the original shot. So if we take our footage and duplicate it, and it takes a little bit longer because we have that camera tracking data on it, so we'll just delete that from the copy and then put this at the very bottom and then shut off the Luma key. So now we have the original footage back on the shot, and we'll delete the mask. So to show you what I have here, we got the original footage, we've got the sky, and now look at the sky. The sky is kind of cut out a little bit so that it blends in the original background, so we can see the real horizon. And because we blended that, we can actually add a little more contrast back into the sky replacement. So it still looks pretty good because we don't have that hard kind of contrasting edge, you know, that goes next to the mountain, but instead it's feathered, so we can, you know, get a little more contrast into our sky. Not that we need to necessarily, but it's supposed to be menacing. Nice. You know, another quick thing that we can do is, like, the clouds are white, but the environment's kind of blue, so we could go to the smoke element and fill that white solid with, you know, like a light blue. And maybe I'll freeze that or lock that. So if I go into the composite real quick, you can see it's a little too blue. So then we can tweak it and then it'll update. So you can see the difference here. That's pretty white. We bring it down. And, you know, that looks a little nicer. And yeah, if you use Particular 2, there's like a sprite colorize mode that you can use as well that does pretty much the same thing. So pretty nice. Maybe even a little green to kind of blend with the color. So something like that. All right, let's go and take a look at what we have and see if we need to do anything else. Okay, so here it is. So not too bad. You know, there's a few little things we'd probably want to clean up, especially in this roto. You know, get in there and tighten it up. And if you want to check out a tutorial that helps with Luma mats and dealing with them, check out the advanced, let's see, sky replace. Advanced sky replacement goes into some really cool tips for cleaning up the edges, like around these trees, and getting that edge to be nice and smooth. So that could be pretty helpful. You know, and then just make sure the blur level of things matches. Like this mountain looks a little sharp. I'd probably add a little bit of a blur to it. And there's some little spots in the roto that could be cleaned up. And finally, we might just add some grain. We could just add like an overall grain to everything. Set this to final and, you know, maybe some Kodak Vision. Why not? Why wouldn't you? Yeah, it's pretty cool. Once you get all of the elements in there, I would go back through and, you know, give them a final color correction. Like these back mountains look like they're probably a little bit too dark now because the once we get that smoke in there, it lightens everything up. So just make sure things kind of blend together. Let's see, I'll shut that grain off for a second. You want everything to seem realistic, like it's part of the same scene. And you know, when you have things pop out or look too contrasted, you know, you want to look at like black levels and things and make sure you have some continuity. So just going through one last time, making sure things look a little nicer. Even with our front mountain, you know, you could color correct the base of it to be kind of washed out, and then maybe the top of it could be more contrasted because it's higher than the elevation of the cloud. So it's a lot of little things that you can do to, you know, enhance the comp and, you know, just make it that much better. So remember, I used the clip from ArtBeats, and they have a library of tons of stuff. There's another comp that I created of this castle, and I posted it on the blog, got some really good tips and feedback, and one person had a great idea to add some torches kind of on the edge there. So this shot, make some space here. You can see here's the original shot. So we're flying over and literally it's all the exact same techniques. We have to create a roto for these foreground mountains. In this case, I had to do it for two separate layers. And that way the part of the, you know, castle is kind of behind that stuff. We added some torches. We even added some pieces of the castle that are on that back mountain. So it looks pretty cool. We've got the sky replacement. Even have a little moon in the cloud. So all the same kind of stuff, but it's amazing just how different you know, things can turn out. And you know, you spend some time on the design in Photoshop, then you can come in and you know, get it to look the way you want. So make this look a little more menacing, I guess. Maybe desaturate it just a little bit. Anyway, you know, you just want to tweak things to death, but I hope you guys get the idea here and learn some cool things. I'll keep working on this even after we're done with this tutorial. Anyway, I'm Andrew Kramer. If you guys want to discuss this or if you have ideas or examples, check out the forum. We've got a lot of great people on there. And of course, the blog, we do you know, lots of cool tips and tricks and project files. So, you know, check that out. And of course, help support the site. You know, we've got some great products. We've got optical flares, some really cool lens flare tools, and not to mention Action Essentials 2, which we actually use some of the fire torch elements in this castle shot. So these elements are right out of the Action Essentials collection, and they just go a long way to make things look more realistic. So there you go. I am Andrew Kramer. Thank you so much for watching. You know, I hope you guys enjoyed it. We will see you next time.